Our scripture passage this morning comes from two sections of Psalm 51, 1 through 4 and 7 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This morning, we are happy to have William Higgins with us. William is married and has three grown daughters and is originally from Georgia and Alabama. He and his wife now live in Conestoga and attend New Danville Mennonite Church. He has served for many years as a pastor, and he now works part-time at Lancaster Mennonite Conference in discipleship and leadership training, and part-time with EMM, traveling overseas to teach scripture, theology, and church history. So blessings to you, William, as you share. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here with you. I drive by this road sometimes and wonder what goes on in this space as you guys worship and as you share fellowship as a community. And so it's just really nice to be able to be here with you this morning. I do want to bring you greetings from the LMC office where I work as staff. And of course, I was blessed to see my brother Dale here this morning and his lovely wife. We were colleagues there until he retired here recently. So good to see him. I did bring along some brochures that I put on a table behind the screen about some Bible study opportunities that are upcoming. Winter Bible School, we're looking at the Gospel of Mark in some depth. And we've been going through Mark for going on a couple of years now, different parts of it. But you're certainly welcome to join in at any time in this process as we go through, the Gospel. And you can attend in person or you can attend by Zoom. And the information is back there for you to see. I just want to say I'm really excited this morning to be able to share with you about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Steve asked me to do this. I thought, that's great. I love to talk about this prayer. And Luke's version, which just never gets any attention, so that's wonderful. Around 20 years ago, I would say, I really began to take the Lord's Prayer seriously as Jesus' guide to us about how to pray. As I was raised in church and as a young person, as a Christian, and even in my young adult years, I'd never heard teaching on the Lord's Prayer before. And the prayer teaching I did receive was from other places in Scripture and went in different directions. But I began to look at the Lord's Prayer in a new light as this is what Jesus gives us to lead us in terms of a template for how to pray as we bring our requests to the Lord. So I began to study it seriously, and I began to put it into practice in terms of my regular prayers, of praying the Lord's Prayer in different ways. And I'll just testify to you that it really revolutionized my prayer life. I invite you to consider doing this already if you haven't. And so I'm just always happy to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Today we have before us the petition of forgiveness, the forgiveness request. And we're looking at Luke's version of this. So Luke 11:4, Jesus says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted who is indebted to us." So I just want to take you through this. I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. I just want to break this down and look at this and talk about this request and what Jesus means to us. And the first thing I want to say is that this is the relationship request of the Lord's Prayer. It deals with our relationship with God, and it also deals with all of our relationships with other people. And the focus is on maintaining right relationships with each other. So really, if you think about it, every time we pray this prayer, we are checking in on our relationship with God, and we are checking in on our relationships with others to make sure that things are healthy and good and God-honoring, a kind of relationship inventory. And so each time we pray, we can pause and examine our relationship with God. What needs to be worked on? Have I built some barriers between myself and God so that I have pushed God away and God seems distant from me? Is there something I need forgiveness for? And also, each time we pray, we can pause and examine our relationships with others. Specifically, am I holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness? Am I holding grudges toward others? Do I have wrong feelings and attitudes toward those around me? As you know, our relationships need to be maintained. We can't just take them for granted and keep moving forward. We need to put some effort and work into our relationship, both with God and with others. And this praying this prayer regularly is a means to this end. I want you to notice that of all the things that Jesus could have put in this model prayer, think of all the things that you can pray for. And he brings it down to these core requests that he wants us to focus on. And this is one of those core requests, which shows us the priority and need for us to be focused on maintaining right relationships, both with God and with others. And as we'll see in a minute, these are both related to each other. Next, we look at the idea of sin as debt. Jesus uses the word debt as a way of talking about sin in several places, including here in the Lord's Prayer. It comes out even more clearly in Matthew's version of this request, but it also comes out in our version in Luke 11:4 in the second phrase where it says, those indebted to us. And this is a financial metaphor, which was pretty common in Jewish thought at this time. And it goes like this. Because God created us, we owe God everything. God is our creator. He has given us everything that we have. And so we have obligations to God. We have moral obligations and responsibilities to serve God and to worship God and to lift up God and to honor God. And when we don't give God what we should, we incur a debt to God in this metaphor that we're working with, which is what sin is. And we see this even in our request in Luke 11:4, where Jesus uses the word sin and debt interchangeably within the one breath of praying this prayer request. This same idea is also true in our relationships with others. We owe each other to treat each other well. This is what is right and good. And when we don't give this to someone, we incur a debt to that person. We have sinned against them. And so with this background in mind, forgiveness is the release of this debt by God or by someone else. And indeed, the definition of the word that Jesus uses here for forgiveness means precisely this, the release of a debt, the release of an obligation, whether moral or legal, for someone else. It means to let it go. You could translate it that way as well. To let that obligation go. That's what God does for us, and that's what we do for others when we forgive them. In Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35, in the parable of the unforgiving servant, which I understand you've talked about here recently, you have this idea fully in play, which this financial metaphor of debt. And so this man is forgiven this enormous debt. And instead of having gratitude and sharing that grace with others, he becomes stingy and withholds mercy and grace to the one who owed him so little. But the point here is that we are released of such a great debt in terms of our relationship with God. He has forgiven us. And this release then opens up possibilities for new and renewed relationship and peaceful relationship. Next, I want to say, even though it may appear like all we're doing in this prayer request is asking for forgiveness, there's actually several things going on here. The assumption here is that if you're asking to be forgiven, you're acknowledging that you've done something wrong, which is what confession is all about, confession and repentance. There's no need to ask for forgiveness if we're not acknowledging that we've truly done something wrong. And it also involves committing to not do it again, which is what repentance means. If it's something wrong, we shouldn't be doing it, and so our commitment is to stop that behavior. But you know how we are sometimes in our relationships with each other. We take each other for granted, or with God as well. We take God's relationship with us for granted. And so we want the relationship. We want the benefits of the relationship. We want peace in the relationship without the hard work of confession and repentance. But to have true and honest and healthy relationships with each other and with God, we need to work at this hard stuff of confession and repentance and dealing with things from time to time as the need arises. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Notice the connection there between confession and forgiveness in that conditional word, if. Another example, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name," which would be the church today, "if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And so again, the connection here between repentance and forgiveness. We need to see that, how that conditional statement, if, and then I will forgive. To ask for forgiveness without doing the hard work of confession and repentance is to presume upon God's grace and his relationship with us, and it is to presume upon the grace of others as well if we're not having the integrity to deal with the issues that are causing the problems. Our reading from Psalm 51 this morning really highlights the interconnectedness of seeking forgiveness and how it's connected with confessing sins and repenting and turning away from those wrong behaviors. Next, I want us to turn to some things to consider as we pray this request. And the first thing I want to share with you is that we can use our own words. We know that it's good to pray the Lord's Prayer exactly as it's written, but we also know that there are two versions of it. So verbal exactitude is not, that's not really the point. The point is to understand what each request means and then to internalize it and then to allow the Spirit to guide us as we pray these prayer requests, so that we can give them our own words and give them our own expression with our own words. I want to give you some examples of ways that I pray this prayer request, both for myself personally and also in leading groups of people. So the first one is, we ask for your mercy. Take away anything that blocks our relationship to you. Be close to us, O Lord. Release us from our sins, even as we give grace to others. Forgive us our sins. Have mercy. Pardon us. Release us. Cleanse us. Give us a new start. Bring us close to you, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. We also pray for the mercy of your forgiveness. Hear us now as we offer up our repentance and confession to you, and then you can pause and have that time of offering those things up to the Lord. And then moving on, hear us now also and help us as we resolve to forgive those who have wronged us and to make things right in our relationships with others. There are thousands of ways to pray just this one request, and once we internalize the meaning of it, the Spirit can lead us and help us. The next thing I want us to consider as we pray this request is that we're not just asking for ourselves, but for all the people of God. This is a corporate prayer. It says, forgive us, which is a second person plural. It's not just forgive me, Lord. It's not just that. It's also all of the church, all of the people of God. Forgive us our sins and failings to you. This may seem a bit strange to us, but in biblical times, this was much more common. They had much more of a sense of community and of communal identity. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples of this from the Old Testament. The first one is in Daniel 9:20. He says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. So those two things just go together for Daniel as he's praying there in chapter 9. And then in Nehemiah 9:33, Ezra prays, we have acted wickedly. If you look at the context there, he's not really talking about his own personal actions. He's talking about historically the actions and failures of the people of Israel throughout their history. And so there's this corporate aspect to his prayer. So when we pray this prayer request, we're not just praying it for ourselves, we're also praying it for all of the people of God, and really all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer are this way. We're praying for all of God's children who turn to him in repentance, that he would give grace to forgive and to heal and to restore. Now, sometimes people talk about the Lord's Prayer and say, well, we shouldn't call it the Lord's Prayer because Jesus couldn't pray this request because he was sinless. And I would say that, Jesus could pray this petition of forgiveness in the sense that I'm talking about here, which is to pray it for us as he intercedes for us even now at the right hand of God. The next thing to consider as we pray this request is that we all need God's grace because we will fail at times in our commitment to God and in our relationships with each other. So we need lots of grace. That's what relationships are about. We need lots of grace in all of these relationships because relationships don't work without grace because none of us are perfect. None of us do everything right all the time. Now, I'm kind of quick to say here, this doesn't mean that, hey, we can just go out there and sin because it doesn't matter. You know what? I don't want you to take it wrong here in that sense, that because there's grace, we can go forth and just do what we want. I'll remind you that God has given us everything we need for a life of godliness, as it says in 2 Peter 1:3. There is no lack from God's end in terms of the grace and power he gives to us to walk in his ways. But the fact that this request is in the Lord's Prayer does say something to us, speaking to the fact that we will still fail, we will struggle, we will make mistakes, we will offend each other, we will offend God, we will often do what is wrong, we will take the easy way as opposed to the way that God has for us. So like with the request for daily bread, I would say we need also daily, regular grace in a relationship with God and also with each other. And then finally this morning, as I share with you, I want to end with this thought. If we don't forgive others, God will not continue to forgive us. Jesus makes it crystal clear here and in other places in his teaching that our relationship with God is interconnected with our relationships with each other. You can't separate those two things. So if we're not living in right relationships with others, it is affecting our relationship vertically with God. So the vertical and the horizontal always go together, and it's a very holistic way of looking at this. This shows up in the forgiveness request in Luke 11:4 with the word for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This word for makes the link and the connection between the vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationships with each other. God will forgive us and is full of grace and mercy, But we must also forgive others who sin against us. And every time we pray this prayer request, Jesus has put it together in such a way that we're reminded of this connection between the vertical and the horizontal in our relationships with each other. In Matthew, this point is made by some additional teaching at the end of the Lord's Prayer. And I would like for you to read this with me, if you would, all together. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I do want to say here that we are not earning our forgiveness from God. Jesus is not saying here, you know, if you do this first, then God is now obligated to give you grace because you gave grace to someone else. You know, we do something and then God has to do something in response. No, to pray this prayer is to have already received God's grace, because we pray this prayer to our Heavenly Father, which shows that we have that relationship of grace. He is our Father, and we are His children. And we are God's children by grace. Grace always comes first. We don't earn it. But this petition does show us that those who receive mercy from God have to pass it along to others. We receive it first, and then in gratitude, we then pass that grace and mercy on to others around us. And if we cut off mercy to those others around us, we will find ourselves being cut off from grace from our Heavenly Father. As I said, this is a very common theme in the teaching of Jesus. Let me just share one other example of this as I conclude this morning. It's from Mark 11, verse 25. And it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. To continue to receive God's grace and mercy, we must pass that same grace and mercy on to others around us who fail us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Lord's Prayer that your Son has given to us to guide us and teach us in how to pray. And we thank you, Lord, for this teaching of your Son about forgiveness, how it works, what it looks like, what it takes. My prayer, Lord God, is just for each one of us. Whatever in this message was meant for each person, that they will receive it, that they have received it, that your Spirit will work, that your Spirit will convict, that your Spirit will encourage, that your Spirit will bless in whatever way you choose, Sovereign Lord. Do your work among your people here this morning, God. We lift this all to you in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.